Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. While this week is flying by, I'm going to talk a little more about the Sabbath today. And what I'm doing is building a case for how we know which parts of the Bible we follow as commands directly to us and how we know which commands we learn from. And we learn about God. We learn about different things. We can apply in different ways to our life, but we don't directly obey those commands. It's not that we just pick and choose which parts of the Bible we like or don't like. It's not that we just ignore everything in the Old Testament and follow the New Testament. No, we have to actually read the text. And the text tells us, in the Old Testament, here are things that apply to Gentiles for all time. Here are things that apply to Jews living under the Mosaic Covenant. Here are things that apply to other groups of people for a set amount of time. And we have to discern which commands are given to which people. The same thing is going to be true in the New Testament. Although more generally, we follow almost all the commands in the New Testament. Old Testament, there are a lot of things that we don't have to follow necessarily because of who they're addressed to. But we have to pay attention to the whole Bible and the context and who our commands directed to. So the Sabbath I introduced yesterday, there are a number of commands that that God gives the Israelites with regard to the Sabbath. Here is how you are to follow the Sabbath. Here are specific regulations that God says, this is for Israel. Do not light a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Okay, do we need to follow the Sabbath or honor the Sabbath? Well, I think so. I think the Bible says that this is something that God established in creation. I think this is something that the Bible puts great emphasis on. But the specific list of rules about what to do and not to do on the Sabbath, God gives to the Israelites. He gives it to prepare them for this special role. The Messiah is going to come from them. They are a light to the Gentiles. They have a special role, a unique role among all nations on earth, and they are to keep the Sabbath with the specific rules and regulations God lays down, not us. Now, I think we learn from the Sabbath that we need, as human beings, whom God has designed and created, we learn from God that we need rest from our work in a regular pattern, about one day in seven. We need a day that we set aside to focus on the worship of God, or else we're going to become spiritually weak. We're going to fall away from the teachings of God if we don't have a regular time, one day in the week, to set aside to focus on God. So Christians traditionally have done that through worship on Sunday. And we make worship of God in church on Sunday the biggest part of the Sabbath. But, you know, other Christians will argue about sometimes, well, is it okay to wash dishes on Sunday? Is it okay to, go out to eat where others are working and serving you on a Sunday? You know, isn't that the Sabbath day? Well, the Sabbath day, according to the Bible, is actually on Saturday, sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. The Sabbath and all those different rules and regulations about being careful not to do any work are for Israel, not for Gentiles. I believe we apply it to our life. We benefit when we apply some of those principles of having a day set aside for worship on Sunday. That's good. But I don't think there are rigid rules that we have to enforce. So that would be my take on the Sabbath day. Now let's think of another example. Leviticus chapter 19 says this: do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, love your neighbor as yourself. We usually think of Jesus saying this, but he was quoting from the book of Leviticus when he said that. He said this was the second most important command in the Bible. The first is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. But here, we read in Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself, I am the Lord. And then the very next verse says this: keep my decrees. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of materials. This is the one I've talked about a lot. You know, in other words, 50% cotton, 50% polyester shirts, those are out according to this verse. Later on, a few verses later, it says, do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. What is that all about? Well, let me just pause for a moment and say, so wait a minute. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves because the Bible says so, but why don't we worry about wearing clothing woven together of two types of fabric, of material, two kinds of material? Well, I think there's a reason for that. In this section, Leviticus, God is addressing the Israelites. This is part of God's covenant with Israel. And so as we read these commands, we've got to understand this was part of God's covenant with Israel. It is not a covenant with all nations. It is not a covenant with the Gentiles. Now, does that mean that we're free to hate others and we don't have to worry about loving our neighbor as ourselves? No, because Jesus set forth that all of his followers will also seek to love neighbor as yourself. But we do so because we're followers of Jesus and because the Bible teaches it in other places outside of this law code. We don't necessarily love our neighbor as ourselves because it's in this part of Scripture. And that's why we don't worry about wearing clothing woven of two kinds of material. The Bible makes it clear this is a command for Israel. And as we're reading through Leviticus, it's in the context of this is God's word to Israel. It's not a command given directly to us. So then we have to think about Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18 has a whole list of regulations on sexual morality. And it includes a lot of different things. I'm not going to read through the list. It's kind of graphic at times. You can read Leviticus 18 if you like. But it gets towards the end. It says, do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. This is one of the most famous verses in the whole debate about same-sex marriage, same-sex relationships. And Christians will say, well, see, it's in the Bible. Homosexuality is wrong. And those who support same-sex marriage will say, but it's in Leviticus. You don't follow most of the stuff in Leviticus. Why do you follow that one? Well, I've got to comment on this. I think that those who are for same-sex marriage and point out, well, you don't follow most of the stuff in Leviticus, they've got a point there, because Christians often, you know, do just pick out that verse because it supports their position. But do you know why you should follow that verse and not pay attention to the other verses in Leviticus? You need to know this, because this is God's word. And you need to have a reason for following one verse and not other verses. Otherwise, you're just doing what you want to do, and you're not really submitting yourself to God's authority. So they have a point. But I also need to come back and say, there's an answer to that question. Leviticus is written to the Israelites. It is not for all nations. But at times, that does not mean it won't say some things that show us that certain commands are for all nations. And that's the case here in Leviticus 18, because it goes on to say, after this verse about homosexuality, and it's not just homosexuality, it's a long list of things that we need to pay attention to. And some of these Gentile Christians in our churches today don't really pay attention to this list, but it's in there. It's in Leviticus 18. And God goes on to say, do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I'm going to drive out before you became defiled. All the nations, God is saying, I hold to the standard. This isn't just for Jews. I'm telling you Jews to do this because this is the standard for all nations. So certainly this includes Jews. So the Bible tells us that this list of sexual misconduct is something that is not just for Jews, even though it's in this book that's mostly rules for Jews. It points out that this list is for all people. And let's go back to Acts 15. I read this a couple days ago. Acts 15, the Jewish Christians write to the Gentile Christians. They're trying to figure this out. They're like, what do we expect of the Gentile Christians? Do we expect them to follow all of the law of Moses? And they conclude no. And they say, instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. Why is it that they say, hey, Gentiles, you don't need to worry about all the law of Moses, but you do need to worry about meat of strangled animals? Well, because we read that yesterday. That's a command in Genesis 9. The Gentiles are not to eat meat of strangled animals. That was a command given then for all people, all times. Why does it say abstain from sexual immorality? Well, sexual immorality is defined by Leviticus 18. There's a long list of sexual regulations. Why? Because the Jewish Christians recognized that that was a command given to all nations. It wasn't just for Jews. All right, so we've got to distinguish, what does the Bible command to Jews? What does the Bible command to Gentiles? And then be careful to do everything written in God's word. It will only lead to your good, your benefit. And I'll continue and finish this up next time. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.